The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. It's a festive DL Debate, the last in this series. I want to thank everyone who's contributed to the show this season and everyone that's tuned in, of course, and our sponsors, Kieran Brogan, Sister Sarah's, and of course the Dry Arts Complex. Thanks so much for all their support. Everyone here at Highland. Tonight we have another packed show. Later on we're going to discuss the brilliant one of Downing's in the Ulster Junior semi-final over McDermott's of Monaghan, setting up an Ulster final appearance with Den of Cavan. Next week we're going to discuss all under 21 action. St Union's winning the A, their semi-finals in the B and C, their semi-finals in the hurling as well at under 21 level. We're going to discuss all this. We're also going to talk to sharpshooter Geraldine McLaughlin on her recent honour of an LGFA All-Star. And also we're going to round up the year that was 2021 with top GAA pundits Brendan Kilcoyne and Gary McDade. Well, we got the sad news about the retirement from county football of Paddy McGrath, but very quickly, when you look across the man's record and his career and that glorious time for Donegal, it turns into a good news story. And to talk to the very man himself about it, I'm delighted to say I have Paddy McGrath on the line this evening. How are you, Paddy?
Good, Brendan. Good. Hey, thanks for having me.
Not at all, Paddy. I was just looking across your career there, you know, from your under 20 days to that phenomenal time. You know, Donegal had won 5 Ulster finals up until that point, and you doubled it in your playing time, Paddy. And of course, the jewel in the crown, the All-Ireland one in 2012. Paddy, what a journey you've been on.
Yeah, like when you look back, it has been an incredible journey. And you know, I've been so blessed to play, I suppose, with the players I've played with and the teams that I've been involved with. And, just such good memories, hey, and times that I'll cherish for the rest of my life, you know, and really enjoyed every minute of it. Like, and, you know, thankfully there was a good bit of success in them years as well, hey. But, you know, it was just all about the time and coming in at the right time as well. And playing with the players that I had played with, like, so now I've been truly blessed. It was a great journey.
Paddy, listen, football was obviously big in your house growing up in Ardrah, you know, playing for Ardrah and that. We always, and I know about the county under 21 thing, but we always in and around that type of player was captaining underage teams with Ardrah and in and around county sides. Was that something that came a bit later?
Probably something that came a bit later. Like, I was involved with the you know, the county underage teams and the development teams and stuff like that, but, you know, probably never regular in the team and stuff. Probably always, you know, was a captain for the underage in Ardrah and that. And but suppose my kind of journey started off, you know, when I kind of made the under 21 squad that time, like. And that was a big step up. It was actually Sean Clerken, you know, called me into the under 21s the previous year to McGuinness, and you know, that was a big step for me because obviously I was playing with a group of lads that were a year older than me. That group had got to an All-Ireland semi-final, and to be involved in that team, you know, was a big achievement for me. And then to start that team, you know, was massive, and it definitely gave me confidence then to push on the following year. And kind of the under 21s with Jim McGuinness then, that was a fantastic journey. One of the highlights of my whole career was, you know, to be part of that team, and then got the call up to senior from that there, and it just kind of took off after that.
And Paddy, the famous story about the 2010 All-Ireland final, you had a broken jaw and you played, was that how did it?
That was a story. Yeah, that a lot of people talk about and stuff, but I broke my jaw in the semi-final against Tipperary, and it was bad news to get, you know, saying the doctors, look, I said you'll not be fit for the final and stuff, which was only 2 weeks away, but thankfully they got me right, like, and you know they told me the risks that were involved, but you know, Donegal didn't get to an All-Ireland final every day, so it was a massive deal for me at the time. Like, I didn't want to miss out, and you know, we went on an incredible journey that time, and you know, I suppose the only thing I wanted to do was play in that game, and thankfully nothing happened, and it was grand, and you know, it was for the play away. So,
and Paddy, you know, we look at, right, a lot of people have seen both sides of it. I mean, some of the players I would have played with there, like Kavanagh and McFadden and Toy and these lads, they were in one side of the camp, and then they see the complete different side of it. Now, you were a bit later coming in, but you've probably seen it at its lowest. You obviously came on sub against Down just after that under-21 run, Paddy, and that was your kind of your debut, but your start was the ill-fated game in Armagh, is that correct? Your first start for Donegal?
Yeah, first start for Donegal was against Armagh that day. Yeah, it didn't last long, in fairness. I was whipped off fairly quick, like, you know, and I suppose when you're a young fella like that, you're thinking, ah, this is so embarrassing, you know, and it was just one of them things. And yeah, that was a bad day for us all, like, you know, and the team, like, because, you know, there's a lot of media attention that time, I can remember, and, you know, you're thinking, you know, this is just bad, like, you know. But I knew about the players that we had within the team, like, and I knew what the team could go to, like, you know. I definitely could see that, even though I was a young fella, like. But yeah, things changed after that, like, and you know, it was great to start that day, but it was probably a game that you probably would want to forget, like. But
hey, listen, but little did we know what was going to come. But Paddy, I suppose that was the first game I actually did commentary on. It was a tough one for me as well. But but Paddy, I suppose the thoughts in your mind was you had this brilliant underage team coming through. There was probably a lot of scars with Donegal at the time for different reasons. They had a bad couple of years run in championship, but I suppose from your part of it, you had seen enough talent coming through to say, right, listen, we have good players. There's a good crop coming through. There's talent already there. Did you think it was just a matter of someone coming in like Jim? Did you expect at that point that Jim would take over?
Look, I probably knew that he was going to be, well, at the time, I suppose, when John Joe stepped away, I knew Jim would probably go for the senior job. Like, I knew what Jim was all about, what he was capable of, obviously, from the under-21 campaign. But also knew, I suppose, like, we had Michael in the under-21s, and what a leader he was. And I knew what he could bring to the senior team and stuff like that. I knew the players that were coming, or the defence, even our game plans and stuff like that back then, and how we were going to play. And, you know, we had a real belief that time in that, and probably knew what we could go to. Like, so when we were brought into the senior team, like, that's something that you wanted to take with you. And then I suppose when we were brought into the senior team, there was a lot of senior players asking you know, well done, and they were asking you what was it all about, and, you know, how hard was the training, and it was kind of funny to hear them kind of questions, you know, because they'd been there and they'd done all that, like, and I was a bit surprised, you know. But, you know, you're fit to just, you know, tell them, and they were encouraged to hear that and to see that kind of youth coming through as well, like. So back then you probably knew, look, at Donegal's on the right road here.
And Billy, you turned down a job, you had a good job offer in England at the time. Were you thinking, what will I do? I mean, we're delighted that you stayed, and I suppose you yourself, was there a thought that you might head away for that employment?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, work was difficult to get at the time, and it was just after coming out of college, and I was finished college and that, and obviously there was opportunities elsewhere and stuff. So yeah, I had to weigh up my options, but no, I just, like, you know, I wanted to be at home always. And then with the football going the way it was going, you know, like, it didn't really, like, I wanted to stay home for that. You know, I got work at home, thankfully, you know, and I didn't have to head away, like. So, but, you know, with the football, definitely kept me here, you know, just to be part of it all.
And Paddy, was there a turning point there in those gym years? Obviously, everything happened pretty fast. It wasn't if we had to wait too long, you know. Ulster won in 2011. Was that Tyrone victory, was that the biggest turning point for you? Or where did you see the belief to go and win in All-Ireland? Was there any one game, or was it just a matter of it kept building towards 2012?
Like, I suppose for me anyway, like, I really believed from the word go in 2011, hey, that we were going to win All Ireland, like, at some point. I knew that. And I couldn't see how we weren't going to win it, to be quite honest. But yeah, and that was the way I was thinking,
Yeah.
But I know there had to be a buy-in from everybody. And then when we did meet up, you know, early 2011, and we started training, like, you just felt that this was right, like, and we knew we were going to get Donegal back on the right road, like, and we had the players, like, the players was always there, and we just had to just all kind of, as a collective, you know, agree together to push on, hey, and that's what happened. And, you know, 2011 was a fantastic journey, and that was definitely a big part of us winning in 2012, you know. And the confidence that we got from that, like, you know, we were winning games, hey, that we were competing with even the best teams, like, and we were fit to, you know, we were fit, hey, and we were in good shape, like, as well. So that definitely helped us in 2012 to win All Ireland.
And Paddy, the training itself, was there a case for, I know you were new in it and you were ready to go with everything, did you notice that maybe the older lads were there from previous times, were they kind of like, this has gone, not has gone too hard, but did you notice it was kind of like a complete change around obviously gym work and the length of the sessions and how tough they were? I know Adam Spear was on the round doing S&C and that. Did you notice that there was a complete change in attitude, and you could see players' physique change so quickly?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, this, even the gym and everything, there are the gym sessions and the S&C, hey, that was all new to me back then as well, like, so we weren't probably conditioned enough at the time, you know, from, it's just probably weren't where we should have been at, like, we were a good few years behind, and then I suppose gym needed to get us well conditioned and fit to that level very, very fast. So the training was very, very hard, and probably when I look back now, 2011 was probably the hardest. It would have been the time that you would have seen, you know, a lot of boys get sick and stuff like that, where you would rarely see that now because boys are so well conditioned going into training.
Yeah,
and they're like, even the young lads that are coming into the team now, like, they're like way ahead of what we were at, like, you know, when we came into the team first. Like, they have that S&C behind them. They are conditioned. They're fit for the training, whereas we probably weren't fit for it back then. Like, so, yeah, that was all new, and you know, it's even evolved so much even since that. But at the time, you know, it was a big step forward for us, and it was definitely something that, you know, we had to work on and work really hard at, you know, to improve.
Yeah, and by 2012 itself, you know, going through Ulster again, you know, winning the title, and then going in and beating Kerry's and Cork's and going in that final, was the buzz of the, you know, each step amazing, that coming back to training, you could see the county, the colour going up, and the, you know, the buzz. It must have been such an exciting time. Every day must have been just a great lift, getting up, knowing that, you know, you're going to meet up with these bunch of players. And as you said, in your mind, Paddy, you were going all the way. It must have been a great, fantastic time. Like, you know, not just the games or after games, but everything about it.
Exactly. It was how you described it there. It was just everything, you know, like meeting up with the team, training with the team, but even the people of Donegal, like, you know, we always wanted to play for, you know, the fans and play for our supporters and, you know, make them proud and make the county proud. And people were really rowing in behind us as well, like, and that was so encouraging back then. Like, and in 2012, we had a lot of, you know, small goals, and the first goal was to win Ulster, you know, back-to-back, and that was a massive step, you know. And then obviously the draw came after that. We drew Kerry and Cork in the semi, or Cork in the semi final, Kerry in the quarter final, and these were massive games for us then, like, and massive tests for us. Like, it was probably as hard a draw as you could, you know, imagine or think at the time, like, because Kerry and Cork were up there with the best, like, so. But the Kerry game then, you know, we just focused in on it. It was the first time Donegal ever played Kerry in Championship football, and, you know, it would have been it was a big thing to get past it. And then when we won that game, just to see the supporters in the stand, and, you know, you had men crying in the stand to see Donegal beat Kerry, and how much it meant to the whole county. Like, these memories would stick in your mind so well, like, and it was incredible, like, and it just showed you too how much the football meant to the people of Donegal as well, like, and how much they wanted it, like, so that really helped us drive on then, you know, that year.
Brilliant. And Paddy, see the final itself, obviously, you know, the build up there again, like all these games, and I love the fact that you had it real in your mind that the Donegal were going to win. I mean, the game itself, Paddy, was it one of them ones when you look back at now, was a bit of a blur? You just, like every Donegal player at the time, had a job to do. You stuck to that and you'd won the game.
Yeah, that's what it was. Hey, like, I mean, I had my own jobs to do on the field, like, and you just had, we were well prepared, like, for that, and, you know, Jim done a great job with the team, like, and I suppose when it came down to the game day, we just had to go and do the job. It probably, looking back, you know, it wouldn't have been an extremely enjoyable time leading up to the game, like, because there was a lot of pressure on it. You had to do your work, and that was it. Like, you had to concentrate on that. It was great being about the team and the buzz and everything, but you had to keep yourself away from all that because, you know, you couldn't get too far ahead of yourself. Like, and I suppose the only time you could really enjoy it when the final whistle went, like, you know.
And what did you do that final whistle, buddy? Can you remember what was your first thought?
Like, I was beside Morris Deegan at the time. I grabbed him, hey, and Christy Toy then came over, hey, and Christy's a big man, hey, so he just packed me clean off the ground, like, and held me up, and there's Magnus, hey, and, like, there's a photo of that there moment, like, and I just can mind, you know, just the happiness and just, it was like, can't we, you know, you couldn't believe that something that you always kind of dreamed about as a young fella, and thinking, geez, you know, we're after one in the Sam Maguire, was just unbelievable, like, you know, and then just celebrating with the teammates and the fans and supporters and family then afterwards, you know, to see the joy that it brought to them at the time was just fantastic, like, and
bringing it back to our draw, Paddy, I suppose after the man, the myth, the legend, Anthony Molloy, it must have been very special for you to be coming back with that trophy in your hometown.
Yeah, and he spoke very well that day, like, it was very, you know, walking into our draw, you know, and to see all the people that was there, I mean, that's something that'll, you know, stay in your mind forever, like, and you just can't forget it, like, and it was just a very, very special time, like, not many people have done it, like, and so it was, Anthony was there that night, and, you know, he just spoke about the journey, and he was up on the stage speaking, like, and just to even hear him and seeing everybody there, like, and all your, I suppose, your family, your friends, your neighbours, everybody there, and I suppose It was quite unbelievable, and just a fantastic time. So it was.
Listen, great speaker, great presence, Paddy. Brilliant story. Of course, you're back now to, not that you ever left Ardra, but you're back full time to Ardra now, and I'd imagine that you're going to have a serious influence being around there. And I was just saying to a few people, you probably have to watch the body a wee bit as well, you know. So don't be leading the runs every night, Paddy.
Good advice.
You take plenty of dips there in the Atlantic and keep that body right. I know you've plenty on. You've a wee baby on the way. You're building a house. I said to a couple of Ardra lads, why don't you just do your S&C there at Paddy's house? You can lift blocks and put up roofs and whatever you want to get at there for a bit of lift tonight. But
get plenty of work.
get the squad down, Paddy. No, phenomenal stuff, Paddy. Listen, thanks for joining us. Brilliant story.
Thanks,
hey,
Brendan,
and we'll wish you all the best for our draw now next season. Looking forward to seeing and club action, Paddy, and around the county grounds and that. And listen, Gary McDade wants you in coaching underage teams and all that. There, I said, listen, I think this man may need a wee bit of time off first. So,
hey, come here. Thanks a million, Brendan. That's brilliant.
Top man, Paddy. I'll see you soon, lad. Yes, now to round up the weekend's action and look back in the year that was 2021 and hopefully look forward to an exciting 2022. I'm joined by two of the brains of the GA world here, Gary McDade and Brendan Kilcoyne. How are you, lads?
All good, Brendan. Yeah.
Good, Brendan. Thank you.
Gary, you're in Zoom. Brendan's in studio here. Gary, you're having a wee sip of mulled wine. You're getting in the festive spirit. Did you say there?
Yeah, thanks very much for sending it up, Brendan. Well here.
I know, like myself and Brendan, you were in the park supporting Unions yesterday in the under 21 final.
Yeah, that's right. Pila boys came through the college here, Brendan, and know them well and would have built up good relationships, I suppose, over the 5-6 years with them that they're in here in the school, you know, and would still be in contact with a lot of them, even when they've left here. And I suppose I managed a couple of them even after they left the college and at county level and that. So, listen, there's a good bond, a good relationship there among a lot of them, so I was delighted to see them get over the line.
So I finally have something to thank Gary McDade for, Brendan. He's brought on these young Unions players. He's in an awkward position there.
We're very indebted to him. It's a good job you sent out the mulled wine to him.
I'll tell you what, the Unions job then's maybe not out of the question for him then, because he's already got the likes, but we'll
I just wouldn't be getting that carried away now.
Listen, that's just as we're going to round up a bit of the weekend. We'll touch on Downings, of course, and there's a lot of sport on before we round up the year, but listen, tactically yesterday, Gary, knowing a lot of these players like you do, McCool's came with a certain game plan. It was a wee bit set and hit, you know, and potentially could have worked the sending off with maybe a sway in that. How did you see the game?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, you know, and suppose it lived up to its billing that there was nothing between the two teams and nothing between the two teams, I suppose, growing up underage when they were coming through the ranks. And unfortunately for McCool, I suppose discipline cost him in the end, Brendan. You know, they ended up with 12 men on the pitch, and it was really when those men left the field, I remember marking down my notes, it was from the 55th minute really that Unions kind of pushed on, and even after that it was the 57th minute, like Shane O'Donnell had his third point, so it was, and that stressed it out to 3 points, and you know, the game was really in the melting pot until that, even though McCool's lost Chad McSorley early on in the third quarter. They hung on, you know, and they were hanging on, so and fair play to me, you know, they gave it everything. And listen, they can take a lot of positives out of it, McCool's as well, because they won the minors. They got beaten an under-21A final. I mean, you're looking from the outside in, Brendan, they have a lot of good players there, and I know a few of them from working with the under-20s and that in the past as well. You know, you would feel they possibly could get 10 players out of those two teams and they could become a serious senior championship team, you know, in the next 3 to 4 years. Now, the key is, Bren, can they hold them together? You know, I know from talking always in the past, the boys McCool's soccer has a big drain in them in the town, so it is, because there's a lot of soccer clubs in the area, so there is, and they're always up against that. But, you know, winning and success and getting to finals, it'll help them, you know, and it'll definitely brought a good buzz to them. And I just feel sorry for St. Unions now. As I said to you yesterday in the park, I said to you last week, that there's no on Ulster campaign, because you would feel they would have given a real good rattle. So they would almost like that Guidor team that went on and won it a lot of years back. And I mean, they were just star-studded yesterday to have that amount of lads that had won senior championship medals a few weeks back and reserve medals. You know, that I don't think there was anyone in the starting 15 that didn't either have a reserve medal or a senior medal. So strength and depth, and their big players really stood up. I thought Shane O'Donnell and Connor O'Donnell, particularly in the second half, got the ball, ran at them, you know. And what I liked about both teams yesterday, Brendan, is they weren't afraid to kick it in. Mm. You know, both teams love to kick the ball in. Unions had Barry McGetting, Ron McGeehan inside. Yeah, McCool's in at times with Joel Bradley Walsh and Oisin Gallen. It's a great competition. I love the under-21 competition, so do I it's just a pity there's not more space for it in the calendar, that we couldn't do a round robin, say groups of four or something like the senior championship. I know it's never going to happen because the space is just not there, but it's such a good competition, so it is.
Yeah, listen, really enjoyed it. Yesterday you said, you know, the likes of Walsh, some of the stuff Gallen did, he was operating in a different level. You know, McCormick as well with a 1-1. You know, phenomenal stuff from McCool's. Great to see him coming back. You know, a lot of work we've done underage, as Gary was saying there, even the hurling, like a lot of positive stuff happening in the club. And that's what we need. The club's coming up from St. Unions' perspective, Brendan. Have you seen, there's been obviously the story of waves of talent coming through at different times from Unions. And we've seen the best of, have you ever seen an under-21 team as talented as that?
No, definitely. I felt that was as talented as an under 21 team as Unions have fielded, or a lot of clubs have fielded over the years, Brendan. A lot of real talent. As Gary pointed out there, you know, 7 or 8 of these guys played regular senior championship football for St. Unions all summer, and they garnered great experience from that. And, you know, you could see that maybe at the tight stages yesterday. You know, I thought Peter McNiff, particularly when the chips were down the second half yesterday, really stood up. He won a few crucial balls, threw himself at the ball, and wee things like that made a difference. And, you know, Shane O'Donnell, obviously, we know the class he has. And, you know, the goal was obviously, you know, the sending off was a big one. Of Chad McSorley's getting sent off had a big impact on the game, because it just forced McCool's to change the way they were playing somewhat. And that one turnover then, you know, that Unions were able to punish them then on the counter straight in. Great link-up play between Ronan McGee and, I think it was, and Pádraic McGeady, again, and back to Shane O'Donnell, back of the net. And, you know, that was really the defining moment in the game. And, you know, it was disappointing for McCool's from the point of view that they had put up a titanic battle all day to these Unions guys. And, you know, Unions were going in hot favourites, but the energy and the enthusiasm and everything that McCool's brought contributed to make it a great game. And I really thought it was a fantastic game of football with a lot of good quality on show. And, you know, you look at the likes of Keane Mulligan, the back, I thought a great game from McCool's. Jamie Keegan at centre forward got on an awful lot of ball, particularly in the first half. He caused Unions' rear guard a lot of problems, so he did. And then you had, obviously, Oisin Gallan. You know, he's a, you know, we know all about Oisin Gallan, and I think the whole county is about excited about what he's going to bring to the table over the next few years. And we, Kevin McCormick then stuck his goal well and got a point, and, you know, he was involved with the minors there a couple of years ago. And, you know, just another point on the two, a couple of lads that played in an Ulster minor final last year with Donegal, Sean Martin, Conor McGinty, because they're under 17 again next year, weren't able to field yesterday, and they'd be well good enough. So I think all them kind of rules probably need looking at, because whatever about, you know, the strong clubs getting through, and, you know, Unions are obviously strong at this level, even though the bench looked tight enough yesterday. Now the Unions bench, there's only 4 or 5 subs listed, so they're obviously not going into major reserves there. Yeah. But I think the smaller clubs, that they can't play them under 17. If you're good enough at under 17, you're good enough to play under 21. And I think them two lads would have been a loss to McCool's yesterday, Brendan.
Yeah. You know, looking at talent Units, I'm glad you mentioned McEnough there. That's the type of players, like, you can have all the talent you want. I mean, the absolute brilliance of the likes of Sheehan O'Donnell, sorry, getting man of the match. Listen, you need all the workers around there. There's no doubt players like McNuff putting their body in the line, diving into everything.
Definitely. On that point, Brendan, about McNuff, you know, Jimmy Keegan was probably causing Unions serious bother in the first half, and was the change that Unions made to put Peter on Jimmy Keegan in the second half, and that was a major turning point in the game, because he wasn't as influential then after that.
Gary, I was going to ask you just about the role that was played in that there game by Oisin Gallan. You know, we just see him as an inside man in terms of being a full forward, and that's where his place is. But looking at him yesterday, it looks like he actually has the ability to play anywhere. You know, he could play out the field. I mean, a couple of balls he caught, now I know it's under 21 level, but hey, he's a big unit, and he looks like he's capable of being a playmaker. He looks like he has all the skills of the day.
Yeah, I know he caught a couple of great kickouts as well, so he did. And it really, you know, I remember when he came under the under-20s, just straight out of minors, so he would, and his body wouldn't have been developed at all, but he got stuck under the gym, and he has been probably relentless as regards his S&C, and as you can see it now, and that transformation from under-17 to under-21, he's really developed into a man, if you want a better word. And, you know, he probably played a real captain's role yesterday, the way he came out when he thought they needed him, and then they would stick big Joe Bradley Walsh in, or at times the two of them would drift in, and Wee McCormick. I mean, Wee McCormick probably brought him down over, but I think he might have been the youngest player in the pitch yesterday, and he was the only minor in the pitch. And, but you can just see the difference in physique, Brendan, from under 17 to under 21. It's a massive jump, so it is, for lads. And I think it's a good viewing for minor players to see the difference in body shape that you need to make that transition in those 4 years between under 17 and under 21. And McCormick really held his own yesterday, even though he wasn't maybe the biggest man on the pitch. He was more than battled.
It's interesting you said it, because I spoke to Paddy McGrath earlier, and he was on about the tough training at the start, because none of them were ready for it. He says young lads coming in now, they're already conditioned. He said, but them first couple of years under Begiris was absolutely killing them, because they had to get up. They were years behind everybody else. And that's just what you're pointing out there, Gary. But now it's just sweeping across here. The B under 21 championship, Mulford beating Fannett, Mallon beating Neave Wirra. So Mulford playing Mallon in that final. And then the C's, we have a final between St Mary's Convoy against Carndonagh, and an under 21 hurling final yesterday. St Union's beating Burt, so St Union's into a final with St Anta, a repeat of the senior final. That should be interesting. And of course, the other big result yesterday was the Downings, the wee parish of Downings, as Barney calls them, getting into an Ulster final next week with Dean of Down? You could tell me, Dean. Dean, a nice colourful name, all right, from Cavan. It sounds interesting. Sorry, any Cavan people listening. But phenomenal stuff, Brent, for Downings to be flying the flag. It wasn't a great year for Donegal teams in Ulster, but Downings bucking the trend.
Yeah, and, you know, Barney with LYIT freshers, he's not able to make the final because he has to train Downings for the Ulster Junior final on Sunday. But listen, it's brilliant to see them do well. And, you know, I think everyone has a soft spot for Downings for some reason. Maybe it's because it's our holiday part or whatever. But it's great to see them doing well. And hopefully they can progress on and finish the job off on Sunday, Brendan. They have a lot of quality. And we saw them in the championship final out in O'Donnell Park, and they really impressed that day. They just blew the opposition away that day, and they've progressed on from that. You know, they've battled through Ulster, and we all know how tough Ulster can be, and they've got themselves a brilliant opportunity now, and we could be all the hunted down in Sunday night if things go their way.
Bluster at this time of year, Gary. Yeah. Listen, fair play to all them. You might have a scenario now. You could have the Kern brothers now being the new management ticket here, Gary. What do you think?
For Downings?
For anybody?
Yeah,
Maxi and Barney now, they're getting a reputation. Hey, they could be a serious duo.
Yeah, listen, there's plenty of clubs at the minute who are looking for men. But listen, suppose you know, Barney in particular, suppose he's with his own club at the minute, and I'm sure he's only back from America, and he might want to stay around for a while now. And I'm sure the boys will be trying to hold on to him as best they can.
Yeah, and listen, I was just looking back to the year that was 2021. Gary, what was your highs and lows of the year gone by?
Looking at highs, first of all, suppose, you know, it was great to see the crowds back at long last, Bryn. I mean, it just brought an atmosphere back to the whole thing, and it just brought that intense rivalry back to championship and everything, and you need that there so much. And the other thing, a lot of people, it's kind of split between the split season, a lot of people are pro and against it. You know, I think give it time. I think it will work out. You know, you have to let it settle in for a couple of years, and I think we'll see it get better. You know, it's just going to take a wee while to bed in. I think our club fixtures this year ran very smoothly as well. I mean, you have to applaud those at the top table because, you know, it was difficult in the sense that, you know, that they're where the hands were tied with late starts with COVID and that, and they managed to get through a full round of league fixtures. I think they've probably learned a lot, you know, from that there, that they might make changes going forward. It'll probably be some kind of forum of the clubs at the start of the year. I thought maybe as the year went on, the standard refereeing was right up there, like Sean McDade yesterday in the under-21 final. I thought was really, really good. So he was, and he was obviously you know, the right man for the job, and it's so important that we acknowledge that, you know, because in the past maybe referees wouldn't have got the acknowledgement that they deserved, and it's important the likes of Sean and that gets that acknowledgement. So it was then, Brendan, from here in the college, it was great to see McCrory Cup back for us. So it was up here. We've played Dungannon and Cookstown our first two games, and unfortunately we lost the two games. McCartan's now left in our last game this week. But listen, suppose the current group, Brent, wouldn't have been very successful coming through the school. So they would. So we were a bit apprehensive going in to play McCrory Cup with them, but we did, and they more than held their own. They got beat in the last kick of the game by Dungannon the first day. And just to let our listeners know, suppose the gap that's there, you know, that when I got the team sheet from the Dungannon game afterwards, I looked at the team sheet and there was 21 clubs on the Dungannon team. So there was, you know, whereas we have six, you know, and that's six at a push. So it is, we might have only one from a club here or there. So like the boys are really punching above their weight. So they are, and fair play to them, just an honest group. So they are.
Yeah, and listen, Gary, I know it's a huge job for you as well. I mean, that's phenomenal work, because that was a level that for years St Union's College couldn't get anywhere near. So be mixing it with schools with that type of tradition and with that type of conveyor belt, Gary. See, it's not as if we done ourselves an injustice in there. We done our best and to come up, as I say, that level. Phenomenal work by yourself and the lads there.
It's a savage standard of football. It's got benefits Donegal at the end of the day.
Totally agree. Gary, so some serious work has to be done there. Hats off to you that. Brendan, you were at a lot of football over the season there. Is there any outside of the St. Eunan situation, obviously, but between Donegal and Eunan's net, where do you see us, where did you see 2021?
Well, I suppose my own involvement with the minor team, Brendan, you know, and we had a great run over the summer. We got to an Ulster final. We played four games and, you know, what were difficult circumstances over the last few years with COVID and, you know, it gave the young lads a great focus and we had a great old run in it. And, you know, we beat Antrim in a preliminary round. I think we beat Monaghan then in a titanic struggle above in Clonus. Brilliant game. We had a man sent off and showed a lot of heart and desire to get over the line that day and then took Armagh out in the semi-final before beaten by Tyrone in the final. And it was a very good Tyrone team. It was a Tyrone team that should have beat Meath in the All-Ireland minor final. So there was a lot of enjoyment from that. And it's great to see the enthusiasm and the willingness to learn of these young lads coming into squad. And, you know, Donegal football is in a pretty good place after the last 10 years. It's an honour and a pleasure for young fellas to wear a Donegal jersey. And that's not always the case, or it's not the case in every county. I know back in my own county in Sligo too, you know, yeah, we won the Ulster or the Connacht Championship last year for the first time since 1968. And the amount of joy that that brought to the people of Sligo was phenomenal. I know my own father who passed away in September, you know, it just lifted them 10 foot off the ground, been at that game kind of thing and to see them win that. So, you know, it's great to see these minor teams progressing and we're back involved building again for next year. And, you know, I suppose the under-20s then had the disappointment losing out to Monaghan in the Ulster semi-final, but that was all put in context with the events that transpired that night with poor Ologi, you know, and that tragedy and accident that happened in Monaghan. And, you know, the seniors, you know, they were beaten by a team that won the All-Ireland, by a right good team that won the All-Ireland. And yeah, Tyrone kicked on from that victory in Enniskillen that day. But that could very easily have gone another way if a couple of events had transpired in Donegal's favour. So Donegal aren't that far away, but it's about tying them few wee bits together. And that's why the importance of, you know, the colleges football, not only the McCrory Club, but the other colleges and schools and Glenties and Four Masters and Milford and all these, that there's work is done at them levels in order that these players are getting plenty of football and playing at a good level, in order that they can transfer that over then and become better senior inter-county footballers, be it at underage level or senior level. But, you know, listen, there's a lot of positives. Obviously, St. Junan's winning the championship and the performance in the second half against Naomh Connell that day was fantastic. As a St. Junan's man, I'm not afraid to say it, they were brilliant and it was a joy to watch in the second half. Very disappointed, I think, with the Glen result, Brendan. You know, I felt that we should have done a bit more to get over the line that day. The game was there for the taking. And we saw what Glen have since done to Scotstown. You know, they obliterated them off the field. They're obviously a good side, but I felt we had enough for them and we just didn't. When they went down to 14 men just after halftime, I felt that was the time that Unions could have pushed the button, but they didn't, unfortunately. And then it transpired, you know, when Unions had Aaron Deeney sent off in the last 10, McFaul came forward and caused a lot of trouble. And, you know, that was disappointing leaving the pitch because it was a great opportunity for St. Junan's. We want to see Donegal clubs, be it our own club, St. Junan's. We saw what Gidor did a couple of years ago. We saw what Naomh Connell did. We saw Kilcar get to an Ulster final. So Unions have to look at that as the next bar if they want to push on, Brendan.
And listen, that's very important. You're on about underage there, Brendan. Yeah. And Gary, you know all too well about schools. We're on about S&C at the very start of the show and players don't get into programmes now. So you have to know where your squad is because they have to have a programme ready. But Gary, how important is that college's level then? That are we missing out a bit on that? Do you think that has a big say then on minor and under 21 teams in terms of the quality is there? Is some of the northern teams because of these schools a bit ahead of us?
Well, you know, from talking to a lot of people involved in football, like, you know, McCrory's under 19. That's probably the bridging gap between under county minor and county under 20 because it's just such a savage level, Bryn. I mean, like, not alone the level of player. When I told you, like, Dungannon had 21 clubs there, like, you know, I was speaking to one of the teachers in Oma, CBS, and, you know, and they have 14 18 feeding their McCrory team. So they have 18 clubs feeding their McCrory team. So, and the level of coaches that you have involved in them as well is second to none. You know, and, you know, for us, I think we're just, geographically, we're too big. We can't change that. You know, it's so hard because, and to me, there's nearly too many schools in Donegal, and that leads to less people, or being more choice, I suppose, for people. And there's schools on the doorstep. They don't really have to travel very far. Like, you know, you have a lot of lads traveling in Mahara, Noma, and Dungannon, that maybe up to an hour away, you know, and Dungannon, I suppose, are on the border off Armagh and Tyrone. They're on Tyrone on the border of Armagh, so they're pulling from two counties, and you know, some schools even pulling from three counties, like St. Mary's, Marafell. But listen, it's where we aspire to get, and we would have lads who have travelled here, you know, just for football being the number one reason. Like, you know, would have lads travelled up from Fanagales in the recent years, etc. as well, because they know the quality of football they're going to get here. And anyone suppose you know that's serious about the football, they know that the level that they're going to get when they come to us, and they're going to get the highest level that anyone can provide in Donegal as regards to A football, as regards to McCrory Cup.
Is it not they're coming up for the highest level of coaching with, you know, the brilliant teachers that they have there passing on?
Well, we're lucky, Brendan. We're very, very lucky, you know, that we have a
even
really
dedicated... I'm talking about.
Right. We've got dedicated staff who give up a lot of their time. And that, Brendan, a lot of that has gone in a lot of schools, especially since the whole Crow Park thing came in, that teachers had to do extra hours after school and not paid for those guards, even though they were all doing their extracurricular already. A lot of that goodwill was lost then, so it was, but... We're blessed in the fact, you know, that I think we have about over a dozen teachers involved in looking after the football teams here at the minute. And probably that's the quality that we're lucky we have. Like you said, the likes of David O'Hurley, like we've Caelan McGonigal as well, playing with Donegal, and Barney McDermott, Chris Carr from Kilcar, Conor Harley from Unions, Dan Conan from Termon, Danny Kearns and from Gweedore, Declan Donald from Termon, Eamon Doherty from St. Unions. Obviously you have Neil Gordon there, who's been here for years. You've Colin McFadden himself, Kevin Murphy from Buncrana, Paddy White, who was the Niamh Alton senior team manager this year.
Michael just joined you from Convoy there as well. He's doing a bit of
Michael Patton's just joined us, and Peter Devine, you know, Sean McGinley down, and Shane McBurdy, you know, the list goes on. Like, you know, we're lucky that we have a good bunch of lads, and we're probably lucky in the sense, well, Brendan, there's a lot of lads who are past pupils back teaching on the staff. Yeah. So they know what it means, you know, and they know what the black and red means, and there's a good history there. And when you walk through the castle, the history's on the wall. So it is, you know, the pictures are there of the successful teams, and most first years when they come in, it's the first thing we see, and it's what they aspire to be, and something we would always try and sell to the boys, you know, try and get your picture in the wall before you leave the castle.
Not up on the list for Saturday school the way I was, but
they should start a competition, a teacher's competition. I tell you, you'd have a queer line out of that.
Just as you're saying that, I didn't realise all them lads was up there. That's great stuff. Bren, just looking at the 2022, you're getting involved again at underage.
Yeah, we're back at it for the minors next year, trying to figure out a squad. And you know, we've a bit of work done with them, a few games, because of the fact that the Buncrana Cup wasn't played last year and under-16s didn't really get football. So we're doing a bit of work with them through the last few weeks, Saturday mornings, and looking forward to it again next year. We've 6 or 7 or 8 lads carried over from last year's squad. So we're hopeful going into next year that, you know, we will be able to give it a good shot. And of course, all the lads are buying into it, and Luke Barr is leading it out, and he's doing a great job at that.
The training centre in Convoy is key to that.
Oh, it's class. Yeah. It's the pleasure to arrive over there on a Saturday morning, and you know, you've all these facilities there now, all in the one place. You're not wondering where you're going to go on a Friday evening. We'll be in Letterkenny today. We'll be in Glenties, Gidor, Downings. Where are we going to train today? So, you know, it's a fantastic facility, and massive kudos to everyone involved that has that up and running where it is today.
Brilliant stuff. And hey, Declan Booner took in Paddy Campbell there. Gary, where do you see Donegal next year? You know, you look at this, particularly obviously the bar that Tyrone have raised. Can we match that? Can we get back and win an Ulster title?
I didn't get to talk about my lows, Brendan, and the lows was definitely Tyrone beating Donegal in that semi-final this year, so it was...
I didn't think you had any lows in, you see, you didn't mention against Tyrone at all.
And obviously watching them go pick up the Angle Celt, never mind going over to watch them pick up Sam. So it was a real trilogy of lows for Donegal people.
Was it not a high that Fergal Logan and a few other players came down to the charity night and brought Sam? Was that not a high for you?
No comment. but Brendan, back to Donegal, you were asking, you know, I think a key thing, and I think I was talking to you about this a couple of weeks ago off the air, a key person that hasn't been mentioned who's joined in Donegal, yes, Paddy Campbell, yes, good acquisition as well, will bring something different to the table, but maybe help us defensively that way that we were maybe lacking last year. But Kieran Kearney, okay, he has joined the Donegal management team. I've seen him at games with Declan Boner, so he has, and maybe it hasn't been really highlighted in the media, so it has. I'm really looking forward to what he's going to bring to the table. Most for people out there won't be sure who he is. What's titled is a behavioural scientist. So he's worked with Paddy Talley in the past. He worked with Paddy and Derry up at the ranch in St Mary's when they won the Sigerson. And he's worked down as well with Paddy Talley. And he also went in then and worked similar roles with Kilcoo when they won some of those championships. And when Trillig won their first championship back in the, I think it was 13 or something like that, he was in with them and he's been the backroom team of Dunloy Hurlers when they won championships as well. Suppose his chief role, you know, I was talking to a player who played under him and he says he's big into building the culture around a team. So he is. So I went online then sort of just to see what I could find. He actually did a conference at the GA National Conference last January. You can actually watch that back online. He delivered a workshop. So he did on how to extract the best from players and individuals to help the collective unit. So I think, you know, he mentioned something about that the me combining with the we. He used that phrase, so he did. So he's not really in the media much, so he hasn't. So I think we could see, hopefully, that he'll bring that, you know, those areas that we're talking about there and maybe channel that towards maybe making us even a tighter group and stronger group going forward. You know, when Brendan, there's everything there after Tyrone beating us last year, like, you and Brendan talked about there and beating us, you know, very, very narrowly. You know, we were just unlucky with the sends off that day, and Michael and missing the penalty and losing Dean McGee. Just that we didn't get the rub of the green. You need the rub of the green in big matches. We didn't get it. But what more incentive do you want than watching your neighbour beat you, lift the Anglo Celt, and go on and lift Sam? I'll say the boys just can't wait to get back.
Mm. What do you think of next season, Bren? I suppose the first thing is stay in Division 1. That's just whatever way you stay in it. That's all you want to do. But building into the Championship, I suppose you're looking at our defence. We're probably missing 2-3 defenders at the minute, you would think, as we try and, you know, make things work defensively. There's no doubt from midfield up, Bren, we've got loads of talent and ability coming through. It's just at the back, particularly one-on-one defending. You know, McMenamin last year probably didn't have his best. You know, he did the niggle going under the net. He's usually was our best man marker. And as Gary said, you know, we keep going back to Neil to keep sorting out a full back line. He picks up a knock or whatever, and all of a sudden we look a bit threadbare at the back.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's about, you know, the game is evolving all the time. And we saw some of that last year. We saw a bit more open attacking football and the ability to be able to defend one-on-one. And Donegal may have struggled more than most counties in that respect because, it was ingrained in them to get the bodies back. And that personal ownership, personal responsibility to tag your man and mark your man may have been blurred somewhat, but it's about, you know, I suppose the Donegal coaches and the Donegal management team that are there now to develop and improvising somewhat. If they haven't got a natural player for a natural position, you know, you got to improvise, and we see Tyrone doing that all the time. We saw them doing it last year, you know, with players and that you mightn't think are playing in their natural position, but they do a brilliant job there. For example, okay, Petey Hart might always have been a natural wing back, but he played football all over the field. But he went back half back last year, phenomenal year at half back for Tyrone, and was instrumental in them. And Donegal have, you know, they have players. It's about just getting the right mix and the right fit defensively and building around that to make sure, you know, that they can compete at this level and that they can handle their man one-on-one. You know, also what I think is key is Michael Murphy's fitness. Like, he's a massive, massive player, and there's no point in, you know, there's no, everyone knows that, that's not a declaration, but, you know, he struggled with fitness last year, and even, you know, the couple of yellow cards that he picked up that day in Enniskillen, I think were a result that he was just that bit off the boil fitness wise. So getting him back fit and in prime shape is key for Donegal, and then building around that, and as I say, finding, coming up with these defenders to try something in a different position. They have the McKenna Cup, couple league to get through now, and the league is tough. Like, that Division One is savage. Like, you know, there's no game that you think, oh, this is going to be cushy, this is going to be handy. Every game is so keenly contested. So it's great opportunity for Donegal to try and build something around that, to try and experiment with a few players in a few positions. You know, we see Niamh McGee is back. How's he going to be? How's his injuries? You know, he picked up a couple of bad injuries during the year, but is he going to be able to man the square again? And we need alternative plans. And sometimes we can get fixated in our view of what a fullback is. The game changes, and you just, you know, you have to develop these and improvise, come up with different solutions.
It's like total football. Everybody has to play everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, that's a brilliant roundup. Looking forward now to a bit of McKenna Cup and back in the what is a phenomenal league. I think it's Kildare and Meath and Clare, Kildare first, then Dublin and Kerry, and then the three Ulster teams. Not exactly maybe in that order, but something to get. I haven't even looked at the exact layout of the fixtures, but it's something to get, Gary. It should be an exciting league.
Yeah, it certainly should. And probably, Bren, you know, something that we've bypassed is that we haven't we've kept the same format for the All Ireland, you know, which was really, really disappointing. We had an option this year to try and change that and go for Proposal B, and we didn't vote for it, and we as a county didn't vote for it, and you know, there was a lot of people unhappy at it. You know, it's same old for another year. Whereas, how many years have we heard now? People talking about it's so unfair that Dublin, Carr, or Kerry, Mayo, Galway have this clean run of it, you know, in the other provinces, and we have to batter the head of each other in Ulster. We had a chance to set the bar straight last year and make it even across, and we turned it down. So, I mean, we have to just zip it now and can't play that card again and just get on with it and play the card.
It's hard for us to zip it. It doesn't suit the three of us well, Gary. But hey, listen, we're almost out of time. LYAP freshers, Brendan.
Yeah, All-Ireland final tomorrow evening in Cardiff and Monaghan against DCU. Again, we're talking about the educational system. It's a brilliant opportunity for local Donegal fellas. You know, it's been, the team is captained by Carlos O'Reilly, St. Michael's. Now lads in Donegal have LYIT to get their education and play football. Brilliant support from Paul Hannigan down in the IT and Michael Murphy, who's in charge of sport. So it's great to see them, and hopefully they can finish the job off tomorrow evening.
Let's get supporting them. Good man. Yeah. Listen, Brendan, top class as ever. Gary McDade as well. I'll speak to you in the new year, guys. Yes, just to wrap up the final segment of the year, I wanted to end it on a good news story, and I don't think there's any better than this. And of course, it is the awarding of Geraldine McLaughlin, an LGFA All-Star. Geraldine is now in the line. How are you, Geraldine?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you?
Listen, thanks so much for joining us, Geraldine. As I say, it was a tough year for Donegal at different levels of GAA, but the story of that coming through, of course, five nominations, Geraldine, for me, no, not just the best forward in your position, the best forward in the country for years now. And, of course, you finally got that night in Dublin. And of course, Michael knocked in there as well. It must have been a very special occasion.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like, this is my sixth time up, like, so like, it was nothing new to us, like, going up, but it was a very special night, like, and oh, it was really good, and, like, all, like, Nicole and Evelyn were also nominated, so they were up as well, like, so it was a really nice night.
Good family outing as well. As I say, you must have, even with the current lockdown, you hope you had a good night in Dublin. You might have got out at least till 12, or where was the rules at that time, Jeremy?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I think it was definitely past 12, and I it's not fun now.
Long overdue. The Meath ladies, of course, taking 8 on the night. Geraldine, is that a case for Donegal next year that anything can happen? And Maxie's back in, of course, and he's changing his backroom team there. Is it looking into next year, anything's possible?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think like with us, like, we've been knocking door for so long, like, and like, it's just a matter of getting across the line, and it's probably something we haven't found yet, like, and I suppose hopefully with the new backroom they can do it, like, this year, and with everything going on, like, with me winning, like, everything's possible, and we have the team there to do it.
Johnny, just looking across your five nominations, I say that was sixth this year. Was there any years you were going up there thinking, yeah, I'm pretty positive? What was the mindset? And then, of course, going into this one, were you thinking, right, this finally has to happen? Or were you still in two minds about it going up, even though there was this massive weight behind it?
I suppose, I think two of the years I was up against player of the year, so I knew I wouldn't be in any chance to get it. Like, and then the very first year I was only 17, like, so it was all new to me. Like, I don't really think about it, because every year, like, there's probably people that get it probably shouldn't just get it, and people that don't get it deserve to get it. Like, so these awards, you don't really overthink it. Like, I don't think you can. Like, and you can't really be guaranteed one, or you definitely can't be like, oh, I'm definitely not getting it. Like, I think it's just, like, I think the selection process probably not the best way of picking them, like, but no, I think it's more so everyone else is like, oh, geez, they have to give it to you by time or whatever. Like, no, I don't really overthink, and I don't really, like, it's really, really nice being nominated, and if you get it, all the better. Like, but it's even nice to be recognised among the best in Ireland. Like,
yeah, and so, Julian, they never do what they do in the men. Sometimes maybe move people about, which is not really your position, but they know that they should give you one. That doesn't really happen in the ladies' All-Stars.
No, it definitely doesn't. Like, you're put in the spot, like, so I was left corner forward, like, and you're put there, and it doesn't matter if you deserved it. Somebody else might have deserved one as well, but because they're in that position, like, only one person get it. Probably the right way is probably having 18 forwards nominating them and the best six out of it getting one, because not the best six don't necessarily get one. It's just a matter if you're in against somebody that's definitely guaranteed one, like, you're, like, it's probably unfair.
Yeah, and does that mean, Jenny, you would move about? Does that mean you're exactly named as that, even if you started the season in the corner and you moved to full or moved to the other side? They just put you in a certain spot and that's it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like, Becky Wall's a great example. Like, she got right corner forward, and, like, not once did she ever play there. It was only because she had number 13 jersey on her. Like, she's more out midfield or centre half forward. Like, she was never, ever in full forward. Like, and she got the corner forward, which, like, and she was up against Amy Mackin, who got top scorer in the senior side this year. Like, so it's kind of, like, unfair that way, like, as, like, probably both of them probably should have got one, like, or just because they're both around number 13.
Yeah. And, Julian, your scoring has just been off the charts. I mean, I look at it all the time. I can never just quantify it, because it's just consistent, consistent, consistent. You're just racking up all these mad scores. You've done so much for Tiernan and Donegal now, Julian. It's winter time now. You've got the All Star. What's the plans for next year? Are you as mad to get going or as ever? Because you've done so much in the game now, and I'm sure both teams now just look to you so much as their leader and their main score getter. Is that something over time, Jerry, you've just got used to doing? Do you enjoy that, or is there a bit of pressure attached to it?
No, I think it's more so when I was younger. Like, you always want to beat your last game, and, like, if you had a good game or a bad game, like, I wouldn't really worry. Like, you just always want to get better and better and better every game. Like, I think when we were younger, it didn't matter if I scored 4 goals and 10 points in a game, like, and I missed one score. Like, I'd go home and my parents would be like, what happened that wide? Like, they wouldn't even say about the scores you got. Like, and I think when you're probably more naive and you're younger, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have been missing, like, been out practicing loads. Like, and I think it more so that, like, you always want to get better, and, like, it's like anything, you can always actually get better. Like, so you just go out, and I don't really put pressure on myself. Like, there's like a team, 15 players. Like, so lucky enough with Donegal and Tiernan, like, we would have a very good team. Like, so pressure's off you when you have players around you in every game.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, the only forward I've ever met could get away with saying 4-10 for any individual game. There's nothing that isn't possible for you. So, listen, Jenny, as I say, I wanted to round up that because, listen, I'm so happy for you, and that everybody, I think, not only in Donegal but around the country, have watched what you've done in the game. I don't think there's a award this year that wasn't so much overdue but thoroughly deserved. So, listen, I hope you've a brilliant Christmas, and that award sitting up in Pride of Place with a wee bit of tinsel on the mantelpiece there.
Oh, thank you, Brendan.
Listen, you have a great Christmas. We look forward to seeing you in 2022. Gillian, thanks for joining us on the DL Debate.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks to Gillian McLaughlin there, Paddy McGrath, Brendan Kilcoyne, and Gary McDade. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. That's a wrap for 2021. I'll speak to you in 2022.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's Experience.